I told you this morning that we were going to start a new direction for a while in our Sunday evening services. And Andrew, if you would like to have a message title for the records there. The title of this message is, I Guess I Forgot. I Guess I Forgot. The new series has to do with some times in Scripture where we find this truth and this, we run across this word, remember, remember, remember. And we talked about the importance of remembering. And I trust in the coming weeks, as we remind you of certain truths in Scripture, it'll be a blessing, it'll be a help, and the Lord can get the glory in it. Having said that, why don't we look to the Lord in prayer and see what He has for us in these moments this evening. Father, we are thankful again that we can be here. We thank You for each one who chose to come this evening. I pray that You would continue to work in our hearts as our service continues. We trust that what has taken place has been to Your glory, and we pray the same for the time now as we put our attention on Your word. We do pray, Lord, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of You. Thank You now for this, in Your name. Amen. I would invite you to take your Bibles. This is not really where our text is going to be, but for right now, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to show you really what I'm talking about. This, what do you mean that time and time again we talk about remember, we remember. In 2 Peter chapter 1, notice here in, we start at verse 12. Peter said, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or right or fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, or as long as I've got life, to stir you up by doing what? Putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in what? Remembrance. Why? Because we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Three times in those few verses, we see the Apostle Peter as he said, "I know I'm nearing the end of my life, but," he said, "as long as I've got life and breath, I want to just keep reminding you of these things because of the importance of the topics." Well, that's what I'm hoping in the next few Sunday evenings we might do, is we might be able to pay attention to some references throughout Scripture which are actually reminders of things that we're supposed to be doing, things that we're supposed to be teaching, things that we're to be continuing in, etc. How many of you appreciate reminders? Boy, my wife likes them. She's constantly writing something down and putting it in front of my face. Does that tell you anything about her husband? He's got a good memory, but he's got a better forgetter. And she's always, always giving me these little notes, these little reminders. Don't forget this. On your way home and when you're downstairs, don't forget to bring up. Man, if I had a dime for every time I've come back upstairs having forgotten what it is that I was supposed to be bringing upstairs with me. Oh, man, pray for my wife. She's got quite a challenge living with this old forgetter. He forgets so much. She says, I just consider myself thankful that so far you haven't forgotten me. Well, that's an honest conversation that she's had with me numerous times. It's bad. It's bad. And I wish I could tell you, you know, like some things, the older you get, the better you get. Not so about this item of remembering things. The older I get, the worse it's getting. The worse it's getting. Oh, boy. Well, how many of you think those reminders are good? How many of you think they're needed? Yeah, there we go. Well, let's see. What we're going to do this evening is going to be just kind of an introductory message to set the pace and show us some examples in Scripture that I hope will whet your appetite to have the frame of mind, oh, you know, that sounds like a series that I think I would certainly enjoy. I think it would be helpful. And so that's what I want us to do this evening. We're not going to settle down in one particular spot. We're going to be looking at several different passages to just put us on the right track for the coming weeks. Having said that, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Where in Matthew chapter 6? I mean Deuteronomy 6. I'll tell you in a minute. You're going to have to wait. No, I didn't forget, like I forgot the references this morning. I would like us to look at verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. Again, Moses reviewing truth to the children of Israel. He said, verse 1, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land of the whither you go to possess it. And we drop down to verse 6. These words which I command thee shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. First place, we realize that what the Lord is commanding through Moses here is a little bit different in our day and age. The time that this was written, they didn't have four-bedroom homes, part of them upstairs, part of them downstairs, like is commonplace here. But even as you look at this, you notice that Moses, under the inspiration of the Lord, was saying, these commandments, these truths, you ought to be talking to your children about. You talk to them in your house. You talk to them when you're walking down the road. You talk to them about the things of the Lord when you do what? When you go to bed at night. That would be a little bit more difficult for us today, but in those days, most homes had how many bedrooms? It was just a big, and they would lay down and in the darkness with maybe the children over in this corner and mom and dad over in this corner, in the darkness, mom and dad could even talk to the children as they're waiting to go to sleep. Truths of God's word. And then when you get up in the morning, notice verse 8, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you should write them down on the posts of your house and on your gates. What's he talking about here? About for a sign between your eyes. This is making reference here to the fact that the Jewish people in time came to interpret this as, well, when he says bind them for a sign between your eyes, they decided that the thing we ought to be doing is to take portions of God's word, the law, write them down and enclose them in small cases. And those cases were called phylacteries. Phylacteries. And we find that they would take portions of God's word, very small portions, enclose them in this little box called a phylactery. And can you guess what they did with those phylacteries? Bind them for a sign between where? Between your eyes. They would strap that little box on their forehead. They would also, others chose to strap that box on their right hand. So there was, before their eyes, there was a visual aid to help them remember God's word. Sometimes it helps to have a visual aid. Thus, my wife gives me a note and says, don't forget such and such on the way home. I confess so many times I forget to pull the note out of my pocket and read it. It wasn't her fault, but I forgot to look at the reminder. She's trying to give me a visual aid to help me remember. As is the case with so many things, what starts out as a good thing, and you look at this and you think of the Jewish people and you say, oh, that was kind of interesting, might have been a little bit, inconvenient at times to have this little box strapped on your forehead or strapped on your hand. The problem is, many times there were those kind of like those that we saw this morning in our text in Corinthians. I'm not of Paul or Apollos or of Peter, but I am much more spiritual. I'm a follower of Christ, which was hypocrisy. And one of the things that the Pharisees in our Lord's day was known for was what? Their hypocrisy. They were expert in telling you what the law said. They could tell you right down to the final dot of the I or the cross of a T about what the law said, but did they pay any attention to obeying it? No. What are you getting at, Pastor? Well, what started out as a good thing in Moses' day, by the time our Lord was here on earth, look in Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. The Pharisees had taken that command of Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 6, how that you are to bind them for a sign on your hand, and they'll be as frontlets between your eyes. Look at Matthew 22, verse 5. He's talking about the Pharisees, verse 2. Verse 5, all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. What did he mean when he said they make broad their phylacteries? Make nice big fat ones here on their forehead. You know, you're content to have one that's a square inch on your head, not me. Mine's going to be 3x2. I'm much more spiritual than you. So I can get a lot more of God's law in here. I'm much more devoted. Well, that wasn't what the Lord intended at all. So the children of Israel were reminded to provide for themselves visual reminders of God's truth. Not only was it something that they would bind on their hands or between their eyes, we also saw the Lord said in verse 9 there of Deuteronomy 6, you write these upon the posts of your house. And write portions of God's word on the gates as you go perhaps in and out of your yard or so on. So the Lord, through Moses, encouraged God's people to embrace visual aids to help them remember. Perhaps sometimes it's not a bad idea for us to come up with some visual aids to help us remember certain truths. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Sometimes we see the importance of remembering came to God's people just by way of clear warnings that were given to them. Clear warnings. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a chapter which talks about, again, verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do that you might live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and you shall what? Remember all the way that the Lord your God led you these 40 years to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you were going to keep his commandments or not. First thing the Lord, through Moses, said, remember how God has taken care of you. That's a good thing. To remind ourselves what God has done for us. And he pointed out here, when he says, remember how the Lord cared for you, well, just how did he care for the children of Israel? What a mighty task God undertook, caring for the children of Israel. Do you know that it is estimated that there were over 2 million Israelites that walked out of the land of Egypt? Over 2 million. Now, how would you like to be responsible for providing food, clothing, and shelter for 2 million people? That was no problem for our Lord. And notice how Deuteronomy or Moses even said that. He said, in verse 3, he humbled you and he allowed you to get hungry so that you might consider in your heart that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, we find here how when the children of Israel got hungry, God help us. How are you going to provide for food for over 2 million people for 40 years? You just put a little dew or frost on the ground every night, and in the morning, all they got to do when the dew clears and the frost clears, there's this little bitty round thing, and there were tons of it on the ground. All they had to do, talk about providing, all they had to do was bend down and pick it up. Wasn't that something? Bend down and pick it up. Now, John was, he and I josh each other. He hobbles along with a brand new knee now. But we talk about these old bones and how they ache and this, that, and the other thing. And he saw me down underneath the table that the copy machine sits on. I was grabbing the birthday pens this morning to bring them in here, and he watched me struggle to get back up again. And he said, you need to post those things a lot higher. He said, then you wouldn't have to struggle. It wouldn't be so hard to get down on your knees. You know, getting down on your knees, that's no big deal for these young people. It wasn't any big deal for me 10 years ago either, but I'll tell you, a lot's changed. And, oh, all they had to do was reach down and pick it up. But what about their clothes? We see here in verse 4, remember how the Lord took care of you, Moses said. Your raiment, it didn't get old upon you. Women, how would you like to wear the same dress for 40 years. Watch out, standing room only. The women are going to be mobbing us to get a chance to grab a dress that's going to last me for 40 years. You say, well, that would have been great. Would have been kind of same old, same old, same old, wouldn't it? Oh my, Susie, you're really looking good this year. Yeah, I've looked like this the last 39 years. Same old dress. The clothes didn't wear out. You say, that was terrible. No, it wasn't. They had no way in the wilderness to stop and provide new clothes for them. And so God, by His grace, just gave them clothes that never wore out. Never wore out. And what about shoes? What lady's closet isn't full of shoes? Their shoes never wore out either. It says, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. And we find how that the verses go on and talk about God's goodness, but we come to a warning in verse 11. Beware. Beware. What was the reason for issuing a warning to them? He said, keep the commandments, verse 6, and walk in His ways. He's bringing you to a good land, verse 7, a land of all kind of abundance, a land where you're not going to lack anything, verse 9. And when you have eaten and are full and you bless yourself for all that the Lord your God has given to you, be careful that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments, His statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and you're full and you've built fine houses and you're dwelling therein, verse 12, your flocks, your herds are multiplying. You're getting money, silver and gold is multiplied. What is the danger that quite often sets in? What's that? We begin to forget and we begin to take credit. Ever notice that? Isn't it something how we like to take credit for something we had nothing to do with? And in this warning, Moses taught the people, he said, beware, lest you forget the Lord and you start telling yourself, lest your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness where there were serpents, scorpions, drought, no water, who fed you in the wilderness, verse 16. And verse 17, and you begin to say in your heart, my power. Boy, I've worked this old farm and look at it. Look at the abundance. Boy, you know, I've done a good job on this piece of ground that we got. He said, don't forget, verse 18, you remember the Lord your God. What are we supposed to remember? Here's what you and I in 2024 need to tell ourselves. We need to remember the Lord our God, for He is the one that gives us power to get wealth. And He's the one that has given us everything we've got, period. And human nature has a tendency to forget that. We like to take credit for something that we had nothing to do with. And when we begin to do that, we begin to forget the Lord. We begin to forget the Lord. And the Lord said, I warn you, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Let's look at those first verses of that psalm. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I, will utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known and our fathers have told us. We're not going to hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. He's established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel. He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Responsibility of parents to teach their children the truth of God's word. Why? That the generation to come might know them. That's a responsibility as every parent has. To teach the truth concerning the Lord to those young ones that God entrusts to our care and our keeping. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of the Lord, but keep His commandments, that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with the Lord. We see here the commitment parents need to make with regards to their children. Make sure we keep bringing those truths. We say, there's very few of us here that have small children anymore, Pastor. Well, some of us are grandchildren, aren't we? Grandchildren, yeah, grandparents. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder. Wrong word. Some of us are grandparents, aren't we? What an opportunity. What an opportunity to share the truth of God's word with those young lives. Well, the commitment as parents, the importance of committing God's truth to those younger ones under our care. One last reference, Judges chapter 2 tonight. Judges chapter 2, and this is a frightening one. Judges chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 12. And if any of us are thinking, I think you're just kind of beating a hollow drum there, Pastor. I mean, you're making a mountain out of a molehill as far as these references to encouraging God's people to remember the things of the Lord and to keep our trust in the Lord and look to the Lord. I think you're overemphasizing it just a bit there, Pastor. I don't think so. In Judges chapter 2, let's pick up our reading at verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. Now here's a key verse. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. What generation? The generation that was alive during Joshua's life and the generation that was alive during those men that had served and labored with him. There we find that generation was gathered to the Lord, and there arose another generation after them. Is that an unusual thing that one generation dies off and another one comes along? Not at all. That's life, isn't it? But the sad feature is that first generation that arose after Joshua's generation, what does it say about them? They knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. What does that speak of? To me, it speaks of the failure of Joshua's generation and those that served with him to be doing what? The very things that we have been looking at this evening with regard to make sure you are teaching them to your children. Teach them to your children who can teach them to their children. Joshua's generation dropped the ball. And how long does it take for a generation to know nothing about the Lord? Only one generation. Isn't that a frightful thought? You say, oh, that could never happen. It did. Parents, grandparents, we've got a task. If we don't share that word with the upcoming generation, when we're dead and gone, we're concerned about the things of the Lord. We want to go to church. We want to learn His ways. If we don't pass that on, the next generation, they won't even care. And when you turn away from the Lord, when you take the Lord out of your life, you create a vacuum. And one of the problems with a vacuum is that you've got to fill it with something, right? Look at verse 11. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and they bowed themselves to them and provoked the Lord to anger. So why are we even considering a series of messages on about this topic of remember? I trust we have seen this evening the importance. You say, well, I know those things. I've heard those things. Tell me something new. Much of the truth that we are going to be considering, we're going to be reminding ourselves of things that we've heard, we've known. But rather than saying, I don't want to, I've heard that before. Why should I come on Sunday night? I've heard that before. We need to pray for God to guide us, strengthen us, draw us closer as we go on an adventure in these coming weeks to help us remember important things in the weeks to come. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you that we could be here this evening. Thank you for these glimpses that you have given to us of how important it is, as far as you are concerned, that we take steps to remember important truths. May we take this to heart in the coming weeks Help us to remember the things that ought to be remembered. We ask this for your glory, Lord. Dismiss us now with your blessing upon us. Give each one safety as they make their way home. In your name I pray, amen.